How can you judge a financial planner's credentials? The question is being raised more and more as Americans look to the experts for trustworthy advice when it comes to their money. But some credentials just don't make the grade. Arthur Stein is a certified financial planner with SPC Financial in Rockville, Maryland. He's here to tell us what you should look for when it comes to those fancy initials behind a financial advisor's names. Good morning, Art. And you can start by telling us which mail order catalog did your certification come from? Just kidding.
No mail order catalog for me. There was a great article yesterday in the Wall Street Journal by Jason Zweig and Mary Pilon about this issue. And they pointed out a lot of interesting things. One, the obvious. People who have a certification next to their name, a financial advisor has a certification, is more likely to be trusted, is going to make more money, you know, just according to the studies that they have. The problem is that the number of credentials has exploded. There are about 48 tracked by FINRA, which is a financial industry regulatory authority, which regulates certain parts of the financial industry. They found that there were 48 5 years ago. Now they track 95. The Wall Street Journal found another 115. So it means there are around 200 different certifications that people could have. And what the journal found was, you know, some of them were extremely easy to get and others were extremely hard, required a lot of rigorous training and exams. They cited the ones that the most rigorous ones and most difficult to get are certified financial planners, CFP, CPAs, and chartered financial analysts. And then they listed, three of the ones that are the easiest to get, like a certified senior advisor, which all you have to do is take 1 3-hour exam. There are also big differences in the ethics requirements and the amount of continuing education that the registrant needs. Some of these registrations require 30 hours every 2 years of continuing education. Others require none. And there's, once again, a table in this journal article that lists all that information. It's very worthwhile. What they suggest is that you do your own due diligence, which, you know, is hard for people, but certainly worthwhile if you're hiring a financial advisor. You can get on FINRA's website, FINRA.org, and look up people by name, see their qualifications, have there been customer complaints or regulatory actions against them. You can check with your state insurance commissioner. You can check with the Securities and Exchange Commission. However, with the SEC and FINRA, they're only going to list somebody if they're licensed to sell securities directly to investors. And then the other idea that they had, and it's a worthwhile one, is if you don't recognize the credential, look up the credential on the web, go to their website, see what you think of it.
So Arthur Stein, a certified financial planner with SPC Financial in Rockville, joining us now. And tell me what happens if we find ourselves with somebody who might not be, I don't know, maybe not sinister, maybe not evil, but just not very well read. Is the worst thing that could happen, we get bad financial advice? And if that does happen, do we have any recourse?
Okay, yeah, you could get, and first of all, you know, let me say, Amy, that having a certain registration, you know, being a CFP or anything, does not mean that the person is honest or competent. But at least with the more rigorous ones, it means that they did take courses, they are subject to ethics regulations, that they do continuing education. They're just a more serious person. They didn't just walk into this yesterday. But it doesn't mean that things can't go poorly. And if things go poorly, it means that you could get bad financial advice, and at the other extreme, people can steal your money.
And Art, that's pretty bad. Is there any state regulation of this? Is there any federal standards that apply to financial planners?
State regulations or federal regulations has become, you know, it's a confusing mix. Some people are regulated by the states. Others are regulated by FINRA and the SEC. It depends upon what they're doing and how much they have in the way of investments that they're managing. But again, you know, if you stick to the more recognizable, more difficult credentials to get, at least you know the person has, you know, spent some time and effort to study the issues. And, you know, that doesn't guarantee honesty, but it's sure better than someone who, you know, maybe they're no longer a mortgage broker, now they're a financial planner.
A very brief question, because we are getting about to go over, but I wanted to ask you about that relationship between the client and the financial planner. Do you find that relationship becomes kind of tight? That you seem to really become very familiar with each other. So if you do find yourself in a position to have to dump your financial planner, does that put you, the client, in an awkward place? I mean, how do you do that? Or does it ever get that far?
Well, yeah, some people, you know, change financial planners all the time. And, mm-hmm. and as you say, some people become very close to their financial planners because they're not just doing their investments. They're helping them make decisions about how to handle family money, how to handle their estate, their taxes, a whole range of issues. And if you want to switch to another one, it can be difficult, but people do it all the time. And, you know, it's just you call the person up and say, this isn't working for me.